Welcome to Sticky Pickles! Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol. And this is Season 3, Episode 2 of Sticky Pickles. Definitely adults and swear bear.
Hey, everybody. We have a guest commentator today. This is Kroll's friend, Michael Hux. Hi,
hello,
Michael.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
I'm going to try and call you Michael through this, because I always call you, yeah.
See if you can make it. I guarantee you don't make it through without the word Mikey coming out. It's not going to happen.
I'm going to try and not call you Mikey. I haven't earned that right yet.
So. Maybe today you will, Maria. Maybe today.
Aww. Maybe.
Can't wait to dive in and have some dialogue. I don't know. That's all I got. I don't know.
I agree. Okay, Maria, tell us, what is your sticky?
So we have two adults. One is named Kiara and her buddy's name is Terrence. And they've known each other for decades. So Terrence kind of like saw her in the dining hall, Kiara, that is. And he had a little bit of a crush and he was like, oh, she's kind of cute. But as he got to know Kiara, he realized like this is definitely just going to be friend territory. So he kept that crush very much to himself.
Okay, so he had a crush on her.
Like a teensy tiny, like the teeny teeny weeniest.
She's cute. Yeah,
she's cute. Like she's cute. Like that's what actually led him to go talk to her. And ends up they had like a ton in common and they were like really good friends.
Is this kind of like what my dad used to say? He used to say, you wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers. that was his line to say someone was hot.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting. I would kick everybody out of bed for eating crackers. Like literally everybody. Yeah. Like no eating in bed.
So he bottled his mini crush and got over it.
And he got over it. Yeah. It never became an issue. So they stayed friends. They became like fantastically good friends. And maybe Kiara could tell at the beginning that like this guy had a little tiny crush, but she never said anything about it. She never made it weird. It never became weird. So they kind of grow into adulthood together. They met each other as friends. They ended up introducing each other to people to date. Like they really, really were in each other's lives. And in this relationship, Kiara was very much like the go-to responsible one. So she had like the steady job from day one. She always was like answering the phone. She was never the type of person to ghost. She always was just very dependable, not necessarily like being a mom to people, but like when you have I need help moving or something. Like she was that kind of person to help. And so she also was not really judgmental at all. So Terrence, as you might guess, was a little different from Kiara in that he was often, especially in his 20s, like really down and out. So like if they wanted to go to a movie together, Kiara would always get the tickets because she knew that Terrence often really like couldn't afford it. Sometimes he needed a ride, Kiara would give him a ride. And sometimes he would be out of work, like he would lose his job. And she'd be like, you know what, you need a place to crash for a few weeks while you get a new gig? You can crash on my couch. That's totally cool.
So she's like just a good friend.
Really good friend. Like everybody hopefully has a good friend like that in their life where it's just like, you know that you can depend on them and they're not going to make it weird. So she was never like, you owe me. It was just like, this is what good friends do. We take care of each other. So we do. Mm-hmm. And Terrence, for his part, also was like a very grateful recipient of this help. Like he was always super, super helpful, kind, did whatever he could in whatever limited way he could to like make it up to her.
Here, I bought you some day-old donuts. Thanks. Let me crash in a few weeks.
Totally even now.
It's gonna be this is gonna be uneven, but he never was like grovelly about it. He's like, just I'll take out your trash or something, like just something to be like, I'll just try to show you how grateful I am. But when it came to keep warm gestures of friendship, he never really reciprocated as much as he should have or could have. So maybe it was like youth and inexperience. Terrence didn't really understand that like you got to do some things to keep a friendship going over the years, especially like as life starts to intervene.
Yeah. Or at least be funny. That's Graham's excuse. That's what I wish for.
Yeah, he couldn't even do that. Keep in mind, Terrence had like a string of bad jobs, a string of bad starts in his 20s, especially like he was maybe.
Yeah, but she's not financially dependent.
No. But like he had like maybe a little bit too much drug use, maybe a little too much alcohol use sometimes. And overall, like you could tell he was kind of embarrassed by his own situation. He was like, I don't want to draw too much attention and I'm not really, don't really have my shit together.
And he kind of sounds like the fun one, though, let me tell you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's definitely what he brings to the table. Like, no question. life continues. They continue their friendship. They enter their 30s and their 40s. So Kiara and Terrence end up meeting their own respective significant others and getting married. Of course, they're at each other's weddings. There's like more serious jobs start coming. Terrence starts landing like serious work that actually is steady. He starts moving up the ladder. Kiara does the same. They start buying homes, start having kids. Life really starts to slow down. And as you might imagine, people start to drift apart.
This is a saga.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Now Kiara and Terrence are in their 50s. And they haven't totally lost touch over the years. But, you know, things get busy, right? They haven't met up in person for a long time. But Kiara, especially because she's always been that kind of person, has always kept in touch.
Christmas cards, right? I bet you. She never forgot once.
Mm-hmm. Right. Christmas never forgets a Christmas card. They have each other's phone numbers. So she will once in a while like text Terrence like, hey, I saw this thing and I just thought of you. It made me laugh. Something like that. And she always, always sends Terrence a birthday card every year without fail.
Yeah.
Because she knows when his birthday is, because you know she wrote it down years ago, and she never lost track of it. And these cards are never anything elaborate or embarrassing. They're just like a very platonic, like, hope you have a wonderful birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I bet never ever has she sent the same card twice, right?
Correct. She makes sure it's always unique. You know the type of person. We know
oh,
these
yeah.
kinds of...
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Terrence now, he's well in his 50s. He has his life shit together, thankfully. That's not a product of age necessarily. It just happens to be what happened to Terrence. And, you know, he's very secure, has a good footing in life. And he starts to realize with the latest birthday card that he got from Kiara, he has never reciprocated. Not once. Mm-hmm. And not only that, he has absolutely no idea when her birthday is. Mm-hmm. So he sort of bites his tongue. He's like, I'm going to send Kiara a really awkward text. I'm like, Kiara, when's your birthday? I'm really sorry. I've forgotten after all these years. They actually have like a phone conversation. They haven't talked on the phone in ages. And she tells him her birthday and they catch up. And it's like really, really nice. And she drops at one point that sadly she is divorced and she's living on her own. But, you know, life is good. And Terrence is single. Also, because he got divorced. Neither of them knew that. And they were like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So he's thinking to himself after the phone call's over, you know, what's good enough for a good old friend like Kiara? She's known me for so long. She's been so steadfast. And she loves the finer things in life. So he decides to just go all out and just lavish Kiara with, like, the best gift he could possibly think of sending someone for their birthday who...
He didn't buy her a dildo, did he?
He did not buy her a dildo.
No. Thank you.
I got this for you.
That's not what I want. Yeah.
I love that that's the first guess that you had. So he decides, he's like, you know, he's got money now. He's like, there's this great chocolatier downtown. It's like they're from Switzerland and they know their shit. And they send everything in like these custom crazy shapes and they send it in like an icebox overnight. And it's like $1 gazillion and it's gold leafed and all that crap. So he's like, I'm going to get her like the deluxe chocolates
right.
gift box.
Yeah, because he's raking in the cash now. He's got the Wonga, the house, the divorce.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And you know, his alimony's not too bad, so he's good. And he's like, I remember from our 20s that she really, really likes, like, a fantastic Burgundy. So he got her, like, the best bottles of Burgundy he can possibly get, like embarrassingly over-the-top expensive wines, right? In a gorgeous wooden gift box. And, you know, what the hell, like, 2 dozen roses, red roses, because, again, he realizes he really fucked up by not keeping his end up of the communication over years, and he's just trying to show that he really appreciated all this time. So Kiara gets all this stuff. She's been love bombed a little bit with all this stuff. And, you know, she's thinking, this is really nice. I don't know how to interpret this, though. Because, like, what does this mean? This guy hasn't talked to me in forever. Not really.
Yeah. For me, the things that he chose to get her seem a little romancy. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like if he got her, like, I don't know, a big birthday cake and, you know, Playboy. Yeah.
A Playboy.
He sends her a PlayStation or something, just something like yeah. completely unromantic.
Exactly.
Here's a GameCube. We loved playing this in the 90s. Maybe you'll like this now. I don't know. What are you into?
Play me in some Donkey Kong? I don't know. What are you doing?
I would love to receive something like that. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but if you got like Michael, if you got like roses and flowers and stuff from somebody that you've known forever, you'd be like, what the heck?
And it was like $1,000 worth of stuff. Yeah,
of course. And it just so happens in this case that he remembers that she likes these things that just so happen to be traditionally romantic gifts, right? Like He's just trying to give her these things. Is this platonically?
He does not know either, to be honest, because I won't lie. When he found out that she was divorced, and he also happens to be divorced, that little tiny part of him from his 20s that had that tiny little squishy date that he stomped out was like, oh, wait.
This is the important thing. What did the card say?
Oh, smart.
Very good point. So it said, you know, I'm sorry for not being a great friend to you all these years. I hope this can be the first of many gestures to show you how much I appreciate your friendship.
Okay, boom. No problem. He just went over the top in the gifts, right?
I think that was it. Yeah. Settled it.
And the word friendship is in there, right? So there's nothing that seems like, but one can interpret things the way one wants, right? And 2 dozen red roses and like $1,000 worth of like gourmet chocolates and wine. I don't know. I'd always be like, whoa, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, but I would be, whoa, as I arrange the flowers and stuff my face full of good chocolate.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, wow, if this is the friend gift, well, let's meet up, buddy. Yeah, let's meet up.
Hey, Michael, amazing that you said that.
Oh.
So that's actually, there's a phone call the next day when Kiara has imbibed and enjoyed everything. She said, Terrence.
Hungover, she says.
A smidgen. But, you know, she's maybe got her shit together and had some Gatorade on hand and was like, you know, I know how to hydrate. But we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Terrence, this was an incredible gift. I would love to meet up with you for dinner or something just to show you how grateful I am for that lovely gift. Maybe we can catch up for real this time because it has been so long. And, you know, I really value your friendship, too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So you're Terrence.
Yep.
You're getting a little excited.
Of course.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, yeah, love bombed her, worked. I played it both ways with playing the friendship thing in the card, but sending her a big over-the-top gift.
That excitement in the tummy, like, where's this going to go? This could actually go somewhere really cool. I don't know. I've known her forever. Maybe this could work. So they arrange a time to meet up. It's like a very, very nice restaurant. Very high end. Of course, they can both afford it, so it's really nice. And, you know, before the arranged time, Terrence goes, you know, I don't know if I've seen a picture of Kiara lately. I know she takes really good care of herself, but, you know, I haven't been on social media in a while.
Oh, because they only met up on the phone. They chatted on the phone.
Yeah. And again, like, they're not like, they're in their 50s. So, like, social media is part of their life, but, like, they're not going to FaceTime each other, like, right away. It's just not necessarily their thing.
Uh-huh.
Her picture might be from, like, 4 years ago or something.
Yeah, he was also just kind of like, you know, how does she dress?
Blurry.
The face tune is like heavy. No, how does she dress? Like, would she be off-put if I showed up in like kind of business casual? Or can I glean from her social media that she's going to expect me to show up in a suit and tie? Or does it matter? You know, he was just kind of curious. And he looks at her photos on Facebook and he's like, she looks fantastic. She looks really fantastic, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a little bit of the blurring happening, but like he does the same thing. And, you know, wrinkles. He's like, okay, there's probably going to be some wrinkles. And real life lighting is never as kind as what you put online. But he knows all that. This isn't his first rodeo. And he's like, she looks great. She's taking really good care of herself. I can't wait to see her. I hope she likes how I look, too. And who knows where this will go.
Meanwhile, he's been drinking for the last 30 years, has a big puffy, puffy face, red eyes.
Yeah, but what you don't know is he got really into CrossFit. And
Nice.
No, jacked. So the moment arrives and they meet up at the restaurant and Terrence sees Kiara like in the lobby waiting for him, like he's walking towards her, and she turns around and he can't put his finger on it, but like something about her face looks different. Like, not super different. It's definitely her, but like she looked different. And like her cheekbones look more prominent, but maybe she just like lost weight. And like, you know, again, things move around as you age, right? But he's like, she looks like her photo, but like, he's just kind of confused and he's not saying anything. And he's going like, of course she still looks great, but like, something's bothering me. I can't figure out what's happening here.
Oh, yep. Trout pouch. She got Botox. What, he didn't figure out that she got plastic surgery?
Well, like, it's not always obvious that somebody gets plastic surgery. Sometimes you're just like, they look different, but I don't know how.
Yeah, if you haven't seen someone in that many years, it's like, is this just natural aging? And I don't,
Yeah.
It could be confusing.
It is. And that's what he's thinking. He's like, at first, maybe it's just like, it's just been a while. And, you know, I don't look the same either. And they sit down to dinner and they're having a lovely conversation. But the whole time, this is really bothering Terrence because he's like trying to figure it out. He's like getting up to go to the bathroom and he's trying to look at her from like the side angle, being like, did she change her nose?
Is it like now that she has like double F boobies?
They maybe have been enhanced a little bit, which like is not the worst thing in the world. No. But when he's going to the bathroom at one point and he's like just thinking to himself, he's like, why is this bothering me? Like, is this bothering him? He doesn't know why, though. And he's like, maybe nothing has happened. Maybe something has happened. But like, he's feeling those happy, excited butterflies in the stomach like very quickly go away because he's like, this is not what I expected.
Oh my God, I'm finding this shocking. I'm like,
really?
What's your problem, dude? You haven't seen her in 30 years. She got a few nip tucks.
Mm.
Not necessarily that she looks unattractive. It's just that she looks off. Like something is different that he can't quite put his finger on and it's just throwing him off.
It's somewhere in between the two. Like he doesn't quite like it. He doesn't quite like what she's done. And it's not like super duper obvious, but he's kind of going down the, I don't think why would you do that? And why would she think that's necessary? And like, why would you, you know, kind of, he's being a little judgy about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Terrence.
I'm just saying later, Terrence.
Yeah. After all, Yara's done.
Yeah.
Done and done. Like, he hasn't said anything to her about this. He's just, this is all that's going on in his head. So do you think he should just get over it? Do you think he should listen to what his Timmy's telling him or what? Like, just walk out.
I don't
out
give
of
a fuck what he thinks. I think
he should just take a good look around and realize that he's probably had the most real, awesome friend ever. And if this is bothering him, then I would call myself into question if I felt like that was bothering me that much.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a good friend.
And two, if you're going to send someone flowers and roses and all this stuff and, you know, to give them maybe a free song, you know, maybe something, you would check them out online first, surely.
Yeah. If you have intentions, I mean.
Oh, yeah. But she looked different on her pages, though, didn't she?
The thing with getting work done is it's not always, I mean, the idea is it's not usually supposed to be obvious, right? It's sometimes be super subtle, right?
Yeah. Tell Meg Ryan.
It's some people have it done and you can't.
She was a trailblazer. She was a trailblazer. It's the beginning of it all.
Yeah. So yeah, Terrence basically just keeps it platonic for the rest of the evening.
Good. And lucky Kiara.
Yeah. And Kiara and, you know, Kiara basically doesn't think much of it either because like nothing started, you know, there's nothing that's going to start that's going to end. But basically any slightly romantic thoughts that Terrence had, he just kind of tamps them down.
It's when he took the shelled peanuts and was cracking them in his, you know, biceps to show off his CrossFit body that she was like turned off.
I like to lift tires. I like to push them around. No, it's yeah.
I think there, like this reminds me of this thing that happened to me one time where I had a very close friend. We were friends for years, and this guy had this massive beard. I mean, it was the biggest beard. It was down to like his belly button. I mean, just it was the most defining characteristic feature that he had. So I know this guy for years, and I've really never seen his face. I mean, this beard was massive. He had big hair and everything. And one day I come into this bar that we used to hang out at.
Two eyes and nostrils.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, he had to lift up his mustache to feed a fork full of food into it. I mean, it was just this huge monstrosity of a beard.
Wowie.
So I come into the bar that we used to hang out at, you know, pretty often, and I see this guy playing a video game in the corner. I'm like, wow, that guy looks exactly like my buddy. I mean, his movements, the way he walks, like even the clothes, like it, but clearly it's not this dude. Anyway, the guy comes up to the table and he starts talking to me and my friends. And I'm like, who is this guy? He just walked right up. He just walks right up like he's known us forever. And he's just like asking me weird personal questions and stuff. It was my buddy. As soon as I recognized it was him, I saw his eyes and I recognized it was him. I didn't do this on purpose. It was like my brain had a reaction to this imposter.
It's a visceral thing. Your buddy Clark Kented you.
And yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, not like it's out of meanness. It's just like when somebody makes a very big physical change, sometimes it can be like it can take you a couple days to sort of recalibrate that mental image in your head.
He's not necessarily an asshole. Like he just it's outside of his control because he's like, is this the person that I actually know? Like he knows it's her, but yes. There's just something that's kind of throwing him off.
Yeah. Why doesn't he just wear like sunglasses with the mirrors on the inside when he goes on dates with her? then he can still hang out with her, right? Doesn't have to look at her.
He doesn't find her, like, hideous or anything.
Well, I know, but he liked her on the phone.
Well, yeah, but don't physical appearances count a little bit?
Yeah, totally. This happened to me a million times.
It matters.
I'm just stirring the shit soup. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's what you're here for. And I think, Michael, that was all. Those are all very good points.
Hey, appreciate it. I've been practicing a lot. I've just been walking around commenting on people's conversations for the past few days.
And now you have a chance to rip Kroll apart because she's up next with sticky swear bear.
Well, I have two young ladies this week, Luna and Ariel. Okay.
Oh, all right.
These two are in their 30s. They found themselves on OkCupid a few weeks ago. Now, Luna cannot believe her luck, right, in meeting Ariel. She is the closest thing to perfection for her because she's smart, right? She has a master's. She teaches at the local college. She loves her favorite movie, Marley and Me, says she cries every time, just like Luna.
I cry every time. Love that meme. Sorry.
You know, the word for her is kind of adorable, right? She's like small, skinny firecracker of a thing and aww, always up for stuff. Like when Ariel says, hey, should we go on a hike? Yeah. You know, should we go to a movie? Yeah. Should we go for dinner? Yeah.
And so, is she like good at these things or is she like, yeah, I'll go hiking and then she dies?
No, she has a great time. She laughs. You know, she's really at ease with all these things. She just likes doing stuff.
Nice.
And, you know, both they wanted to take it a bit slow, right? But the feels are urgent now, right? And it's hard to ignore. And it's been a few weeks. So that's the sitch.
Okay.
However, all this perfection, there is one teeny tiny thing that bugs Luna, which is interesting because it kind of echoes your story a bit, Maria.
Hmm.
It's ridiculously lame, okay? It's ridiculously lame.
We're all human. We're all lame.
Yeah, but, yeah, exactly.
You're allowed.
But they're getting closer and closer, and so they're spending more time together, and it's becoming more of a concern. So basically, she says things like Merlin's beard as a kind of swear when she burns toast or something. Or she says bull spit when she forgets something.
She's a dork.
Or she says...
oh, shut the front door.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
She says shuz butt.
Yeah.
Shuz butt when she's running late.
Does she watch The Good Place?
Did you say shuz butt?
Shuz butt.
Shuz butt. Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it's pronounced shuz butte.
Now,
properly,
so,
yes.
So, you know, so for like, you know, during the first week, you know, Luna heard this and she said, look, Ariel, you don't need to not swear in front of me, right? Doesn't offend me. I'm totally fine with it. But Ariel says she does not swear. It's not like that it offends her so much as she's always worried about offending other people. Plus, her family were dead against it. And they had a very expensive swear jar. No electronics in the house for a week if anyone was caught a blaspheming.
Hmm.
So basically, she just says, look, I don't know how to explain it, but I am not a swear bear.
Oh.
Swear bear. Oh. It's twee. It's super fucking twee.
It's adorable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's adorable. Exactly. But, you know, adorable, we have to disjudge where adorable gets, you know, annoying.
You're right. Yeah, it is a fine line. Like if she, like imagine her at the, like, you know, trying to cuss out somebody. I mean, she's really trying to give it to somebody that has done something wrong, you know. So she's really trying to be mad at someone and she's just calling them names like swear bears, you know. Like she's just never going to be able to get.
Yeah. You noodlehead.
Like, I mean, it's just...
I don't know. I used to use at work, I used nipplehead a lot when people annoyed me. And that's
okay,
kind
of creative.
Yeah, it's not sweary. Like, yeah, someone just fucked up. And I'd be like, look, don't be such a nipplehead. You know?
Well, it's kind of like calling someone a dill hole.
Yeah.
It's not technically offensive, but you kind of know
it feels offensive. It it's like, yeah. I feel like I don't want to be a dill hole. I don't know what one is.
Like,
but
what's
I think
the hole
I don't
of a dill?
One.
I thought it's an herb. You know, I'm very confused, but it feels bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, at first it was kind of cute, right? It's kind of cute, but it's starting to grate.
Okay.
I mean, you know, she's a 30-year-old gay woman. What is the big problem with swearing?
Maybe not swearing is her kink.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe. God.
She's just building up and building up. One day she's just gonna say the word shit and just explode everywhere. This is some kind of foreplay.
So Luna basically has been mulled this over, but decided to stay shtum about it because she can deal with this. I mean, how freaking shallowy a person is she to be such worried about this tick habit, whatever. She's such an amazing match, another thing. But then last night happened.
Ooh, last night. Last night happened.
Well, last night they went to a local karaoke bar with some of Luna's friends. And, like, they booked the room for 3 hours, and Ariel, they all sung songs, and Ariel sung, like, 5 songs.
Okay.
Now, she has a great voice. She has a great voice. But she insisted on singing, as we all do, you know, her special songs.
Yes. I'm a birch. I'm a lover. No.
No, she's saying, "Don't marry her, fuck me," from the beautiful South. She sang "Fucking in Heaven" by Fatboy Slim and "Uncle Fucker" from Terrence and Phillip of South Park.
That's such a great song! Oh my God, love that song.
Of course, she removes all the swears. She tweaks them with her cute little swear alterations.
So, oh my God.
She says things like, "Don't marry her, raspberries."
Oh.
Or, you know, "Shut your nacho face, Uncle Sugar. You're a cheese-sucking, fooey-looking Uncle Sugar." Right?
Oh, that's not even a good stand-in for that.
And her friends, like the friends that are there, laugh their heads off. One of them's crying. "Oh, stop it, Ariel. You're killing me."
No, literally. You're killing
me. Literally, I'm dying.
Luna's like, "Yeah, I'm laughing along here, but it's kind of like, I don't know." Her heart gave, like, she gave a bit of a demerit point in her head. She just thought, she's really amazing, but this is just too freaking much.
This is pretty lame, yes.
Anyway, they go home, Ariel and Luna, right? And Ariel is just on cloud 9 because, you know, everyone was love bombing her from her songs and how clever and creative she was. And Ariel wants to stay the night and she's being really sexy and cute. And Luna's like, well, maybe this night won't be.
Shut your fracking face, mother fracker.
maybe it won't be, you know, maybe tonight could be sweet as pie, right?
Maybe she can get fracked.
Ariel is a vocal lover. Okay.
Oh no.
Oh God.
And there's nothing wrong.
You had it. Okay. All right. We're going
there. There's nothing wrong with that unless you have flatmates, your mom was with you or something.
Oh, fudge. Oh my fudging God.
You're almost there.
Oh no.
She says, "Oh, what the frog! Oh, what the frog!"
Oh my God!
Oh no!
And then she moves on to "Gee Willikers."
Oh man!
Oh, son of a bucket! Son of a bucket! And then, as they near the crest, so to speak, she starts yelling, "Shiitake, shiitake, shiitake!"
I give up. God. I can't.
So.
No.
So does Luna, right? She actually just backs off. She just is like,
most unsexy thing I can possibly do.
Yes.
Well, it's up there. I mean, it's not the most, but it's up there.
Well, yeah, it's way up there. It's near the top of the list.
I'm crying. It's really, I mean, I was thinking, what was worse? Would this be worse than someone with a really grating voice? Because a grating voice is every single time they open their gob. Whereas this is when they choose to, I mean, maybe you could introduce her to a ball gag in a nice romantic way, maybe. I don't know.
Like, let's try this thing that makes you not be able to talk. And also, do you mind wearing this the rest of the time, too? Can we just, this is just a thing you do now?
But also just shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you found this person, right? This person, you walk or you stay? Perfect in every other way.
This is one of those things where I find myself, if a situation close to this happens to me in my life, where I'm just disappointed in myself that I know I'm going to walk away from this, but I shouldn't, because everything else is awesome. But like, it's just, this is a deal breaker. I think if the person couldn't ever just like, just once, can you say it once? Like, I just need you to be able to do it.
I think at the time you could just say, you know, when you get up, you know, from the shiitake, and you just go, "No, fuck off. That is not going on." You either keeping quiet, right? You are avoiding this whole cutesy alternative swearing crap, or you learn to swear. But we can't fuck with this.
Like, yeah, it's distracting.
I don't fuck with that. No. Quite literally. Yeah. Oh, I bet there are people who actually would find that quite a turn on to be with somebody like that cutesy, but I'd be like, you're too committed to the bit. Just stop it. Like, nobody actually talks like that.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like disingenuous at a point. Like, yeah, it's okay if you're like, you're going around, you know, trying to be sensitive to other people or whatever, but like, we're not in public right now. You're not like, if your excuse is you're trying to not make other people, you know, uncomfortable. Well, guess what? This is making me uncomfortable. Yeah. I hate this so much. I can't even describe it.
Yeah, either swear or don't.
Yeah.
I don't know though. I'm kind of thinking, you know, she's getting the expletive. Like, what are swearing? Swearing is just getting something out in a kind of forceful way, right? Like, you bang your finger. That's what he has to do. That's what she has to do. Luna has to kind of trip her up or something, like, you know, kind of surprise her.
Sounds like programmed at this point. You know, like, it's not like she's even consciously, you know, trying to do this. It sounds like it's like, these are the words for her.
If she's saying, oh, what the frog, during the height of passion.
Right.
Yeah, that's, you can't.
She's not planning this.
I mean, honestly, this sounds like somebody, to me, on a very deep level, is very inhibited. So I'd be wondering, like, what else is going on there? I don't know. My, mm-hmm. my mind would start going down the spiral and being like, okay, that's really not normal.
Why? I think I'd see this whole thing as a challenge.
How's the sex?
Yeah. That sex has got to be really good for that.
I'll check in with Luna.
I mean, someone who says shiitake instead of...
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah. And if it stops at halfway through, right, you just can't stand it anymore, even though you're dying to, you know, have this happen, that's not a good fit. That's not a good feel, is it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to say, as a man, I believe a certain biological process just wouldn't happen anymore at some point. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be a choice I was making. I'm like, my body has chosen that I'm not doing this anymore.
The turtle is going back home. Yes,
turns out this is going back in the garage.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Do jumping jacks, celebrate, or check out our previous season, or tell a friend, whatever. We're just glad you're here.
Yes, we are. And if you want to get in touch with us on social media, we're at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And as always, you can email us at hello@stickypickles.com. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. And thank you, Michael, so much.
Yes, huge thank you.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's kind of fun, right?
I like it.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Just a bit of silliness. It does the body good.
You get it now. Like, this is, oh yeah, okay, this is all right.
This is how we do things.
All right, Picklets. See you guys next week. Bye.